Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Who's driving that baby?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, Carney here. Just wanted to let you know that Movie Maintenance Presents and Bitten By Productions are putting on a live show in Melbourne on Monday the 4th of September. Tickets are $10 and all of the proceeds are going to a Nepalese family, who happen to be friends of mine, still struggling in the aftermath of the devastating earthquakes from 2 years ago. The Movie Maintenance team have been joined by actors from Bitten By to read a feature film screenplay I've written called Slowly Slowly. It's a heartfelt action-adventure story, and if you grew up loving stuff like Indiana Jones, The Goonies, and Stand By Me, then it's right up your alley. So check out the link attached, buy a ticket, and come rub shoulders with Gabe, Handsome Tom, Greg Kane from Dracula, Unique from Bogan Book Club, and many more. And if that's not enough for you, the Movie Maintenance boys will be back for another live show as part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival. Just head over to melbournefringe.com.au to grab your tickets. Movie Maintenance is on Thursday, 14th of September, and head over to sanspantsradio.com/live for the dates and times of our other shows.
Welcome to Movie Maintenance, where some films just need fixing. I'm Kath.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Handsome Tom.
And this week we're doing Baby Driver.
They call me Baby Driver. And once upon a narrow wheel.
Controversial choice.
Because it's a great film.
Because it's a liked film. I think that's...
It's getting a lot of...
It's a popular film. People are enjoying it.
Yeah, I agree. It's also a good film.
I don't think it's a good film.
Is it because you have... no taste?
Yes.
Yeah,
this is exactly
so. Okay,
it. I
good.
Just like walk around and just like khaki pants and Crocs with socks on all
well,
the time.
Well, you are wearing a fucking giraffe once. So, and odd fucking socks. Like not even in a... like
underneath the onesie, I'm wearing like a grandmother's pajama.
Oh my God.
The position of authority you're speaking from here is not strong. To contextualize with our personal opinions on Baby Driver, Tom's probably is unnecessary because it's obvious. I liked it. I thought it had problems. It's far from my favorite Edgar Wright film. I think his best film is Scott Pilgrim.
I agree. It's not my favorite Edgar Wright film, but it's a good film.
But like again,
didn't need a maintenance.
I'm not a massive Edgar Wright fan. I'm like, I like his work. I think it's fine, but like, I don't pound my drob to to the Cornetto trilogy or stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, cool. They're fun films that I might watch occasionally. The only one of his films I feel really passionately about is Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. And that's purely because of, like, I think the time in my life when I watched it where it just, like, lined up just right for me.
Oh, yeah. I was like 20, 21, a bit lost in my life. Scott Pilgrim spoke to me on a very deep level.
I like Scott Pilgrim, yeah.
It's a great film.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I wasn't saying that Baby Driver was my favourite Edgar Wright film.
I don't think it's anyone's favourite Edgar Wright film. Just, like, do you know what I mean?
As a film, like, you know, I saw it, I liked it, I walked out, I was like, look, it had some problems. I had some issues with, like, Kevin Spacey's character.
Yeah, me too, massively.
Other bits and pieces here and there. But, like, for the most part, I liked it. And I was like, I just enjoyed it. Like, I didn't think it was anything to write home about. I thought, like, it was a triumph of style over substance, if anything.
For sure.
Like, stylistically, it was really, really cool and it was really well made and everything. But, like, it was pretty hollow and pretty weightless.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got the end and I was like,
but
yeah,
it was also not trying to be anything more. It wasn't something dressed up as.
Which is why I'm wondering if it's just the Edgar Wright factor, which is why, like, it's getting so much praise heaped on it. Because I'm like, it's just a stylish, well-made movie with a great soundtrack.
Do you know what it is, though?
It's the sign of the times for, like, not great action films coming out. So we're accepting a lower standard and being like, well, it's not totally shit.
I think it's a case of people are like, it's good because fucking hell, it's an when I say original film, I mean it's a film that's not part of a fucking franchise. Mm-hmm. It's not a universe building film. It's not adapted from a book or a comic. It's really just a cool story with a cool soundtrack. I will say this. It goes for 5 minutes too long. It should end with the scene of him getting arrested on the bridge. That should be the last shot of the film. We don't need to see.
I didn't need to see him in prison or anything like that.
I tell you what, I will concede this. For a film that I like, it did something that I fucking hated.
What's that?
I do not need to know what his real name is.
Yeah, and it was so cheesy as well.
It was a very corny Edgar Wright thing to do.
Yeah, it was super cheesy.
Yeah, nah. I just got angry about a film I liked. This could be interesting.
I actually think, though, like, the fact that, not even the fact that, like, it's a good, well-made, entertaining film that isn't a comic book movie, like, because we do have those. The fact that it's a good, entertaining, well-made film that isn't a comic book movie and is an action movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it isn't like an art house film. It isn't especially demanding of, like, your attention or your brain power or anything. It is a sit back, put your feet up,
it's
enjoy.
It's a popcorn film, for sure.
Popcorn film.
Yeah.
That, like you said,
and they have
is totally
their place.
Original.
Like, they need, absolutely. I think we need them.
But, and to be fair, though, like, the first 15 minutes of that film are fucking excellent. That first heist car chase and then the one take music video, walking down the street and walking back again, fucking perfect opening film. Are you laughing at me because you disagree?
No, because you're giving, like, the room a thumbs up, which I'm enjoying. It's just great. Like, I've got no real reason.
I'm a visual learner, Kath. I'm a visual guy.
I'm just going to start giving everyone thumbs up now.
Things I didn't like about it. I mean, I know, like, the female characters were pretty weightless, which you're going to get into more, Kath.
We're talking Kevin about Spacey's, lots of depths. I can't,
Kevin
I can't even...
Kevin Spacey's motivation towards the end where he's sort of like, I was in love once too. It's like, wait, what? Like, you literally threatened to kill this guy's girlfriend. Mm. You're like, the bit where he's
and
like,
his
oh,
whole
pretty,
family.
Pretty girl, let's hope she stays that way. And then you're like, oh yeah, because of this, like, because I relate to you, I'm going to literally sacrifice myself. Like, what? Fuck off. That doesn't make any sense. And also the fact that with John Bernthal and Jamie Foxx, I was like, it's pretty much like you're playing the same character and both of you were like, hey, I want to work with Edgar Wright. And then Edgar Wright was like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, I guess I'll just, like, split this character in two.
Yeah.
And why would they?
No, but
it's
they had that great bit where he's like, if you don't see me again, it's because I'm dead. And then you don't see him again. The implication being that he's dead.
But what does that mean?
It just shows that the world that Baby exists in, you could be dead the next day.
But we know that.
But that was already established.
Like, well, I just...
It
fuck
doesn't
you
need
both,
an entirely extraneous character played by a really good actor to drive that point home.
Oh, look, if we're going to talk extraneous characters for no reason, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing the guy with no nose.
What?
Wait, where?
So you know how he has the second heist team when they rob the armored car and that dude chases after them in the ute?
Yeah.
Flea, the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who is also the voice of Donnie from like the Wild Thornberrys, he plays that guy. Like, that's just a fact for everybody.
You know what?
Welcome to facts.
You could put him in a lineup and I wouldn't have recognized him.
Neither would I.
So I'm not surprised I didn't pick that.
Well,
it's
this
cool
film
though.
Spoke
I mean,
to me on a very deep level. Okay?
Clearly, like,
what nerves did it hit for you, mate?
I think the nerves it hit to me is that this film should probably win an award for sound editing and sound design.
Yeah, no. Because I sighed too soon. I agree.
Yeah, you did sigh too soon. Fuck you. No, because that use of music and the use of sound. Like the fact that the guns punctuated, like guitar riffs.
Yeah,
like
that
all
was
worked.
Music.
Well,
that
was
really
was
cool.
So brilliantly together. And I kind of enjoyed the bait and switch boss thing where it was like Jamie Foxx is clearly going to be the guy that he's going to have to deal with. Oh my God, actually it's Kevin Spacey. Oh my God, actually it's John Hamm.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked that.
Jamie Foxx's death was one of the best moments of the film for me because it was so unexpected.
Because he thought he was the antagonist.
And it was fucking brutal, and Baby was not a violent character. And then he, like, that it was messed up, but I loved it.
Think about that scene.
And you did think he was a red herring, which was great. And it's Jamie Foxx. Like, you got Jamie Foxx in your cast, you're going to make him the bad guy or the main character.
Well, if he's acting like the bad guy, he's going to be important. But then
he's
going to
be the big bad guy. So I thought that was kind of clever.
They do foreshadow it, though, by having that whole bit where she's like, when my baby sees red, do you see black? So it's like, all right, so if he gets angry, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But you don't see that coming because he's the only character who's nice to Baby the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, the other thing about the Jamie Foxx death that was kind of nice is, for a character perspective, it shows that Baby's growing. Like, his greatest fear was that car accident. He willingly straps his seatbelt in and drives into the back of a truck
For sure.
To save himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I thought that was good writing and it was well put together. I liked that bit.
It's just a chase scene for like 2 hours. That's why I liked it. It's just colourful and fun. Cat's going to make me think about it.
Okay, but here's the thing about Baby Driver, right?
Were you annoyed that he wasn't a baby? Did you go in there and go, fuck, I wanted a toddler
after seeing Boss Baby, I was like, let's just
you
make every
saw
film.
Boss
I didn't. Don't. Like, I wanted to just, like, talk about it broadly enough to make it not clear that I didn't watch Boss Baby, but I would like
caught you
to
out
have
and now
seen
the egg's
it.
On your face,
I would
Kat.
Like to have seen it. It seems like something I would enjoy, but no, I have not sat down and seen it.
J'accuse. That is French for you.
Fucking it's pulled me out of my lie.
It's French for I accuse.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah,
je is I, accuse is accuse.
I think je is pronounced je, Gabe. As you were, Kath.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm not especially interested in action films. I don't dislike them. I am very excited for Atomic Blonde. For a lot of the reasons that I didn't like Baby Driver, I'm excited for Atomic Blonde because I feel like it will fill that the flaws. I have hope. Baby Driver, though, I acknowledge, is a good film. And the things that I'm going to fix about it is actually not very many. I only have it's three key points that I fix. The reason why I wanted to do that rather than deconstructing the whole plot and being like, oh, you could completely rebuild it, is that I see Baby Driver as a film that was intentionally simple in its plot so that you could focus on the visuals and you could focus on the music and you could focus on the interesting way it was put together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's clever. You know, you're not worrying about necessarily the most complex plot. There's no room for that to muddy how cool the stuff that was happening is. And I'm completely on board with that and I can be with it. And the fact that only three little fixes for me takes us from a film that left me being like, ugh, the whole way through is kind of the point, is that it's actually not that hard to write. My biggest issue with this film, it won't be no surprise to anyone, is the representation of females in it. And it was so frustrating.
They're such deep and complex characters, guys.
Oh my God, yeah.
Look, I'm going to concede you on that. They are not.
They are garbage. Like, I like Lily James. I don't understand how she read the script and thought, like, oh, that's a great character. Like, it's just, and that's the thing is, like, for me, I don't see it as that difficult as a fix. And I think you can still keep, like, I appreciate that this film is, like, a lot of the secondary characters are a little bit one note. And that's kind of the thing. They're caricatures. You can have a caricature of a woman without her being frustratingly, I mean, it's perpetuating like a sexist portrayal of women, which is that women are here for sex and servitude, which is all that the women were in that film. And it's like, that's frustrating because it's constant.
One of the characters was literally named Darling. I'll give you that. Although the main character was named Baby. So I take that point back.
What?
Yep. That's because once, oh, never mind. You have no points, Kath. Continue.
Wait, what?
I'm giving you points.
You don't get to, you're not the referee.
I think, Gabe, am I the referee?
I think you sort of are, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wearing a scarf. I'm a referee.
All right, okay. How many points have I got? I'm not following.
Zero.
Oh, fuck. Okay. My point being is females are not that complicated, but also we're not that simple at the same time. Like, it's not that complicated to write a female character that is complicated.
Well,
does
females
that make sense?
Are not that complicated, quote Kath Atkins 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to put that on your gravestone.
No. I know what you mean. Is the point you're going for is something like, you look at Wonder Woman, for example, and I don't mean Wonder Woman, the character. I mean Chris Pine playing the traditional superhero girlfriend role, and he's really complex and has an actual plot and an arc. But if it had been like, you'd basically write your female superhero girlfriends as if they were Chris Pine, the bloke, because clearly we've given him a complex arc because he happens to be a dude. Whereas usually we kind of shunt them off. Is that, like, it's clearly not hard to write those characters.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Hollywood, you have to write them as men first and then just switch the genders at the last minute.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, the women in this film, none of them had their own thing going on. They all acted, and I've used this analogy before, but I think it's a good one. They only ever acted as a carrot at the end of a stick for a male, right? So they only ever acted as motivation for a male to better themselves. You know, Darling being John Hamm's and Debbie being Baby's. I don't actually know what John Hamm's character's name is.
His name was Buddy.
Buddy. Okay, great. So they neither of them had their own thing going on. This was an ensemble piece. Baby obviously being the lead, but like, let's be real. Like, for me, this was an ensemble piece. The male characters in the ensemble piece, although at times were one note and were caricatures, like I mentioned before, but they still had complexity to them. Like, Jamie Foxx was like a bats. He was a bit wild. He was unpredictable. John Hamm was like this lovesick, loyal Bonnie and Clyde, but he was loyal to the point where that was his weakness and that was what motivated
And then he got the nice action. Complicated switch into absolute psychopath.
But that ties in with the lovesick loyal. It was a direct relationship with the character that he was with who he was at the beginning.
Yeah.
And Kevin Spacey was this, not especially well done, but like this like mob boss that's kind of like a little bit.
Doc, was that his name?
I think so.
Because I think that was the whole point. Is he's the mob boss, but he's good. He works well because he's never used the same people twice.
Yeah, except for Baby, which is kind of his weakness. But yeah. I've got a big fix for his character. So these characters, yeah, are one note in their caricatures, but there's still just like there's a little something there. Whereas the women, it's just like Darling's just like this sexed up, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. I have no issue with a female character, but like it's an action film. Like I understand the necessity for there be some sex in the film. She doesn't just have to be sexed up in the same way that, you know, Kevin Spacey wasn't just this cold-hearted mob boss. You know, you can have a little thing, and don't even get me started on Debbie. She was just like, there was nothing. Like, what can you tell me about that character?
I liked the film better when I thought her name was Jonathan for 2 seconds. Like, oh, this is interesting. Baby and Jonathan, a girl.
She was a waitress and she did her laundry.
No, she also
to tell me something else about that character.
She wanted to get in a car and just drive.
Yes.
You know.
Because her life was so boring because all she was a waitress and does her laundry. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to have a thing.
She wanted an adventure.
I don't have an issue with waitresses who do their laundry, but
I think you do, Kat.
No, I don't. But find me a waitress who does her laundry who doesn't have something else going on. Like, even if it's just like she fucking loves making
a getaway driver.
Just, I don't know.
It was just things like, you know, if she had like a wicked acerbic sense of humor.
Thank you.
Or
yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, it can actually be having nothing going on and no aspirations can actually be a character trait.
For sure.
Like, and I think we made this point, like, you know, there's not even that much. There's a bit of criticism lobbed like the girlfriend character in Whiplash.
But that's a very different story.
I also make the argument.
Her point is actually to prove that in order to succeed, he has to sacrifice love and other relationships.
But yes. Partly that, but also the fact that, like, as a character, like, she kind of underlines his pathological obsessions.
Yes.
Because she's like, well, actually, I'm not that ambitious. And you can actually see moments where she gets offended by him inadvertently alluding that there's something wrong with her because she lacks that ambition. And that,
it highlights
his
flaws.
And that's fine because, like, all the secondary characters in Whiplash are pretty one note.
Because
it's
about
the
relationship between two people.
Like, that's a case where the fact that she didn't have anything going on actually was part of her character. You saw there was some sensitivity about it. She kind of, you know, felt belittled inadvertently and things like that. And that actually made
her whole thing was
a reasonably dynamic character in a film where she didn't actually need to be because there was a purpose she was serving. Whereas in this, it's like, it would be little things like that would actually add just that little bit of light and shade to make her that much more engaging.
And they have the light and shade in the dudes and they don't have them in the woman. And I'm sorry, I know that, you know, like, I don't even know what the argument is for the fact that these characters are one-dimensional. But at the end of the day, I think it's lazy. I think it would be so easy, and I literally have very easily, you know, made these women more complex. It would be so easy to make this not extremely frustrating as a girl to sit there and watch your entire gender just be reduced to a waitress who does her laundry.
Look, I'll be fair. I almost would be like, oh, I'm gonna pretend to have a point. But the only thing is, it's like, what, are they trying to not give her anything to do that so the appeal of running away in a car with this guy makes sense?
Maybe,
but then you need to highlight the fact that she's working towards wanting to do that. So, like, she collects postcards, or like, she literally, that's something. So she's always collecting postcards of places she wants to visit. And already, has another point.
And when she does run away at the end, I kind of got the vibe that it was because you know how she, when he gets like arrested, she's like, don't hurt her, you know, whatever. It kind of feels like she's more doing it because she just wants to help him. Like, it's more about him being worthy. Yeah. And it's like, well, and fucking, she could go to jail.
The other argument is that, like, her character could pretty much be written the exact same way if, like, there were, like, two or three other really dynamic women in the film.
For sure.
And it's like, yeah, cool. So it's like, yeah,
well,
sure.
I mean,
she's
it would
like,
still be annoying, but it would be.
But at the same time, it's
it.
Like, you'd look at it and be like, okay, yeah. So like, she's literally there as like the thing he wants. And it could, you could even play into the fact that like, he's just idealizing her as like this perfect thing. Whereas like, if you had like other dynamic, interesting women in there to be like, no, we're not reducing all of you to this. It's like the same way that like rom-coms will like turn the male characters into like just this object of desire with like nothing else going on.
Sometimes, yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, it's just, it's the fact that like there are two women and they are so flat.
No. There's also that lady that goes, what the fuck, when a car gets stolen. So she ticks two stereotype boxes. She's a black woman whose only line is, what the fuck? And yeah, that's
and
it.
She has a great purse.
And she has a great purse. Oh, I hated, just on that note, the fact that the film goes too long, the courtroom scene at the end.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, he's a nice boy. He's a
good
boy.
It was a
callback.
Really good idea, but it was poorly executed. That baby's biggest weakness, which is that he's kind and he's sympathetic, is what gets him in trouble and
what
saves
him.
What
saves him.
Smart writing, not very well executed, though.
So what are you going to fix? Who are you fixing first?
Okay, so for me, it's actually three characters because, like I said, you can't really touch that plot. It's quite simple. You know, it sticks to a very traditional structure. So I'm not going to try and reinvent it. I'm going to start
You're not
going
to try and reinvent the wheel?
Tom, I saw it coming and then I was like, I actually went on a journey in the last 3 seconds because I was like, I saw what you were going to say and I was like, no, Tom's better than this.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Dave,
no, you're
I feel
really
like
not.
We've both made terrible jokes. I feel like it's your turn.
You know what? Purely in the interest of Referee? Escaping this episode unscathed, I'm going to try so hard not to make any dad jokes for the rest of this episode. Right. And now I'm really scared I'm going to trip up and do it.
We'll be watching. Oh,
hi, really scared I'm trip up and do it really? On Tom.
Fucking hell. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. I make about as good a father figure as Kevin Spacey does in this film. Off we go.
Speaking of which, Kevin Spacey is the first character I'm going to fix.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because for me, he was, you know, Debbie and Darling were frustrating as hell. But also, I think it was the fact that they were the only females was, like Gabe just mentioned, that frustrating as hell. But Kevin Spacey was a head scratcher for me. Yeah, he's quite an easy fix as well. So,
because he's great for the first half.
Yes. Yeah, he's great. And there's so much there that like it's like nearly works, but I don't know how you guys felt. But in that scene where he was like, nah, you can't have anything. I'm cold. I'm this cold businessman. You can't have anything. And then all of a sudden he just sees baby with a girl and he's like, oh, okay.
Mm. He already like, knew she existed too.
Yeah, like, I was kind of, yes.
Didn't make any sense.
He'd seen her at the restaurant.
And
paid for dinner. He paid for their dinner.
Like, it just,
it was,
fuck
it
wow.
was
no,
weak.
I didn't, yeah, I
it
forgot that
so
too.
It was so bad.
Like, his best part, though, is when he was playing that whole bit where he's retarded. He's like, retarded means slow. Is he slow? Like,
yeah.
I actually really
that
dug the
good.
Dialogue.
That was good. That was a nice
like,
piece
yeah.
of writing.
The kind of like super, like the when baby sees red, you see black, like that kind of like style, not when baby, when
buddy.
Yeah, whatever. Just that kind of like really stylized,
liked, yeah.
heightened dialogue.
Yeah. Is he mentally ill? Because I'm the mentally ill one in the group.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for over the top dialogue, and this film had it in spades.
So for me,
yes,
my Kevin Spacey fix is his character. So he's grappling in the way he does business, right? Because he is the cold-hearted businessman that we kind of see. Now, he had that nephew, I think it was, who was fantastic.
Who stole the fucking movie.
I was like, I want to see more of him.
Four cameras, three staff. Oh, man.
So I want him back, but he's not his nephew. That felt odd to me that he was a nephew. He's his son and he's deaf. So he still can have the sassy one-liners and the everything, but he does it in sign. He's deaf. Kevin Spacey is learning sign language to be able to communicate with his son, but he gets frustrated. Yeah, he gets really frustrated really quickly.
Because he's a man of words.
Because he's a man of words and because sign language is also fucking hard, just quietly. Like, it's quite hard. And for someone...
Also, can we make it a daughter?
Sure. Hey, fuck, Gabe. Yes.
We have another female character.
Excellent.
There you go.
Okay, daughter. She's... little sasspot, like the you know, exactly the same characterization, but Kevin Spacey struggles to communicate with this child, but he's trying. He's learning, but he's trying. Baby speaks sign language. He's like a translator almost half the time. He has a great rapport with the daughter. His great rapport with Kevin Spacey translates. When the three of them get together, it works like it's magic. You know, easy communication. So it's the same backstory that Kevin Spacey watched him take the car with the mysterious goods in it and so on and so forth, brought him in as the driver. But as baby grew up and baby got more involved in Kevin Spacey's life, there became a new attachment, which is baby is the...
conduit between father and daughter. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
He facilitates that relationship. So Kevin Spacey is grappling with this, though, because on one hand, he's a cold-hearted businessman who got where he got by not, you know, not being kind of kind necessarily. That's not a bad way to explain
not
it.
Not using the same crew and not being attached to his crew. He just brings people in for the jobs.
But he has inadvertently become emotionally attached to Baby through his daughter.
Even if he's just pretending at the moment, oh, no, the reason I keep using him is because he's a great driver.
Yeah,
which is true, but it's also because of the, oh, that's nice.
And he's struggling with it. He's struggling with it. Anyway, but
he don't want, he doesn't want anyone else in the team. Like, he doesn't want Bats to know that him and Baby are tight.
So,
like,
but don't get me wrong, Baby's a great driver. That's still that same motivation, but it's not just that motivation.
Yeah,
it's muddy, nice, which is good.
But it's also the relationship with the daughter. Yeah, so we see him trying to sign with his daughter, and he's like, he kind of gets it, but he gets frustrated. He gets angry with himself. He lacks confidence.
You could get some great sequences where he's signing, and it's like subtitles, and it'd be like, do you want banana, face, fuck.
Yeah, and the daughter being the little sass that she is would just, like, you know.
That's not a word, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and would fuck with him as well, you know, all the time. So when later on Baby leaves to become the pizza driver, initially he wants Kevin Spacey, who's kind of actually weirdly happy to let him go because he's keen to get rid of an attachment that he has, that he has now sort of an emotional attachment, that he's
pragmatic,
feeling vulnerable, like, oh, this is a vulnerability for me because this is more than business. So when he wants to go, Kevin Spacey's like, I think maybe this is a good thing for you to go. But the daughter, Baby's not coming around anymore. Daughter knows exactly who her dad is. She starts to accuse him of offing Baby. She's getting funny. She's getting like, no. I know you. No one stops coming around unless they're dead.
Because if you don't hear from me again,
exactly,
it's because I'm dead.
Okay. It's because I'm dead. She's getting angry. That relationship is fucking strained. Kevin Spacey doesn't have the communication to explain what he's trying to explain. He's getting frustrated. And so he's kind of pushed to his limit because he does love his daughter. He really cares for her. He wants to have a good relationship. He's frustrated, A, because he's being accused of something he didn't do. And he's frustrated, B, because now he actually doesn't have the translator that he once had. And he can't just get a translator because obviously he talks about crime. And so they can't just hire anyone. Yeah. Baby's the perfect
person.
Middleman.
Can drive
so
the cars and talk to the kids.
And drive the conversation. Anyway, so when he comes back, he asks him nicely. You know, in the scene at the thing, he asks him nicely. He gets frustrated, and that's why he threatens him. Not just because he's kind of a cunt. Oh, pardon my...
You're allowed to
you could
cunt
say that.
Pardon my French.
You could say that one.
So he comes back. So the threat is coming actually not just from a cold place of business, but from an emotional need
him. Cool.
Yep.
So... keep in mind, later
that
on...
It actually makes his motive clearer too, because like it just kind of felt very like...
Yeah, he's a great driver, but I'm sure there's other great drivers out there.
Point A and point B.
Oh,
no,
Baby Driver's a really good one.
Yeah, but the whole thing where it's like, you're square, we're square, but we're not done. It's like, wait, what? That's just like, it was wildly unfair, which made it at odds with his later turn. It made it at odds with his
and
later
turn. And he can still use that line of, we're square, but we're not done. Like, you don't owe me anything anymore, but
like,
I
still
need...
now we know where it's coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we know where it's coming from.
You can even
from.
Have the that's beat good. Where Baby is watching Monsters, Inc. with the niece, and that's why Kevin Spacey knows that we're in this together is from Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then, obviously...
We get to the end. So it kind of follows the same plot. He kind of goes a bit quiet. It comes to the end where Baby and Debbie come in, and they're trying to get away. Walks in. Kevin Spacey's like, nah, fuck you. I'm a cold-hearted businessman. That whole thing. Baby talks to him in sign and refuses to talk to him in any other way. In this moment of pure anger and trying to just be assertive, Kevin Spacey signs back perfectly with confidence and fluency.
Boy.
And because he had it all along. And like when you're learning sign, a lot of it is confidence. You think you fucked it up, but it's like when you actually just trust yourself, you trust that muscle memory, you know, you can actually sign quite fluently. He gets it and he stops and he realizes, I can fucking sign. I don't need Baby anymore. Which, when he dies in 10 minutes later, it actually is like, no! Because he just got there. He just got what he needed the whole movie. And then he fucking dies. So that's why he lets Baby go. Because he's like, I don't need you anymore. I've got what I need.
You could even have a great bit where, like, he's signing at him in their argument. And he can sign, I still need you. And Baby can just stop signing and go, no, you don't. And he's like...
No. He doesn't even say anything. Sorry, I bumped the mic. He doesn't even say anything. He goes, I still need you. And Baby just looks at him.
He's like...
Say it without saying it. It's like,
you fucking don't.
You've got it.
Like,
and that's why... Oh, and he realizes that he's like... He's
Not only have you, like, made it, given it, like, a satisfying emotional arc,
mm-hmm.
you've ripped my heart out. in a way that just made this film five times more memorable.
Because when he died, did anyone give a shit?
No, no.
I was like, oh, okay, another one bites the dust. I didn't give a shit. So if, yeah.
Makes Buddy
dude,
like
that is so
a
much
thousand
better.
Times more interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Go on. And what else have you got?
That's the end of my spicy fix.
Fuck, that's good.
Yeah. Please lower your expectations for the other characters, though.
Well, can I say, you know how there's a point system going?
Yeah. Have I got a point?
Oh, you've got seven.
Wait, does that win a game or something? Like, isn't like in tennis, it's like love seven?
I don't know. We've never done this
love
before.
Love seven. Let's
see where it goes.
It's love 40.
Oh. God damn it.
I'm taking a point off you for not understanding how tennis works.
Because in context, that makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. On 6 points.
Okay, the next character is shock horror. I'm going to fix Debbie because she's, you know, so well written.
Not Jonathan. Is the first fix calling her Jonathan?
Yeah, okay.
Done.
Fuck it, yeah.
The main character's called fucking Baby. It'd be hilarious if she had... something that's always appealed to me is I've always wanted to write a show or a movie, this is a completely bizarre tangent, in which a husband and wife... the husband's name is Tiffany and the wife is called Gregory just because they're just not gender neutral names at all.
Yeah, they have a lot of fucking, especially Tiffany actually, even like a spat, like Tiffany is so feminine.
Mm. Tiffany and Greg. Love Hi, it. I'm Tiffany. This is my wife, Greg.
Because Baby's kind of a feminine name. Yeah.
Baby is, your name's Baby. B-A, like it's, you know.
B-O-B-Y.
Anyway, all that's right. How you spell Baby.
Yeah.
Back film. On track.
I
hammered that home quite a few times.
So Lily James, who is great, by the way. I love Lily James. Oh, speaking of casting, just quickly, I wouldn't recast much because I thought the casting was actually pretty good. I'd keep Lily James because I love her. I love Kevin Spacey, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure my dad would turn gay for Kevin Spacey. Like he's a big in our family. He's a well-respected actor. Thought it'd be kind of dope if the actress of Brienne of Tarth played Kevin Spacey's role. Because I feel like she's got the gravitas to pull it off.
You can do better.
I think you do better. You need to go older.
Older?
Yeah.
Oh, like an Emma Thompson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy
or a Judy
shit.
Dench.
Yes.
No, Emma no, Thompson. Emma, Thompson.
Oh, okay.
Emma fucking Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still works. Still works. Bar. The sign language thing still works. If you don't go Kevin Spacey and you want to change to Emma Thompson, do that.
I mean,
so she's
great.
A better actor
just...
than Brienne of Tarth. I'm sorry, but Emma Thompson, is a much better actor.
No, she just Brienne of Tarth is, you know, I think she's just like a boss.
I don't think she could pull off the gravitas. Whereas I think Emma Thompson would nail the compassion and also the assholery required. Mm-hmm.
And you need to see a character that can be like steely strong, whilst you still see that frustration and that struggle.
But then
that
can play the comedy. Like basically, you need Kevin Spacey but a lady, and the answer is Emma Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're keeping Lily James for dinner. I think I'll just keep everyone else. I don't know. Ansel, is his name Egghart?
I always get it wrong.
Eccles?
Englehort?
Englehort? Englehort?
My name is...
Slughorn? Ansel Slughorn?
All right. I literally knew what it was, but now I'm so confused. I'm not sure if
what is
the right one is the right
my
one.
My name is... Arslick Elephant Bone. he's the Benedict Cumberbatch of 2017.
Angela Lansbury Ansel is the name of that.
I actually straight up don't know what his real name is because...
Amobia so Elquist.
I mean, I didn't love him. I didn't hate him. I didn't
Angel
love him.
Angel Elgort, is that it?
I think so.
Angel.
Ansel.
Oh, Ansel.
Ansel. Like Hansel, like but with
Ansel Eggworn.
So hot right now.
Ansel Eggworn. Ampersand
from that one.
Engerberg.
He was the only character that I didn't feel strongly about in terms of casting. Everyone else, I was like, yeah, great casting. But him, I was like, eh. You know, I felt he could be interchangeable with a Miles Teller. Or
Teller would be too harsh.
Too gruff.
Yeah. Well, just too severe.
Angel Eggwort is a very...
You mean aneurysm English major?
He is a very...
Estrogen egg beater. Okay, let's...
Egg beater. Did you say egg beater?
This show has just...
So...
Fault
you're not
enough
a big fan
boy.
Of Anzalite Ellington.
Yeah, but I've been saying that I just realized.
Oh, okay. All right. Angle Elkblatter, let's go. He could be recast.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I changed my mind mid-argument. Maybe I think he's perfect.
What was the point you were
I
making?
I think he's perfect purely on that conversation that
I think
just
I've
happened.
Got a nosebleed.
Oh,
I'm
fuck.
Grateful for his performance now.
That, none of that is getting edited out, by the way. That
has to stay.
Okay.
The height of comedy.
All right. Lily James is good, but let's fix Debbie.
Okay, let's fix Debbie.
Lolly Germs is good, but let's fix Debbie. Mispronouncing actors is
stupidly funny.
It's so good.
I couldn't deal with it.
Oh, like I'm really impressed with what you did with Caravan Sporky. I mean, that was just the best. Anyway, sorry.
Kelvin Spencey.
All right. Lily James, what are we going to do with Debbie? Are we going to give her a hobby? Are we going to give her a friend?
A friend.
A fake arm. Like,
give her a personality.
Actually, let's give her a fake arm.
Yeah, she's got a fake arm. What else has she got?
It has to be a left arm. And here's why.
Okay.
Thank you. That brought me back in, Tom.
Yeah, no worries.
Never thought a fake arm would help me out so much. So I've written here, she's a nothing going on waitress, okay? That's the character we want to play. She's got nothing going on for a reason. She's intentionally got nothing going on. Here's her thing. This is her backstory. When Baby first meets her, same introduction, she's singing the song. That's what he looks at her. But instead of just being like, oh my God, a girl singing the song, that's a super babe, which don't get me wrong, like I'm all for, but like let's make it a little bit more interesting. He watches her. He watches her walk past a table that she's not waitressing, someone else is waitressing. They've just left. They've left a tip. They leave a tip for the waitress that served him. And her right arm, not her left arm, because her left arm is fake.
Is it like a claw?
Quick as a...
A prosthetic arm.
Quick as a rabbit, her right arm. Quick with her fingers, she takes the tip off. She's like a pickpocket fast. Takes the tip off the table. He's like, oh, this piece of work. What's she doing? She's stealing that nice lady's tip. But as she walks past, when she circles back around and passes the waitress who waited that table, Baby watches her, as quick as she took the money off the table, slip it into that waitress's pocket. The thing about Debbie is she has a little bit of a klepto... Is it
kleptomaniacy, yeah.
Kleptomaniacy or kleptomatic? I was like...
Kleptomaniacy. Kleptomaniac means you're obsessed with stealing. Like, kleptomatic just sounds like you're a robot that steals things. Although she does have a
mania.
She does have a fake arm. Yeah. Is Debbie a robot?
Well, she has a fake arm.
Yeah. Okay. She has this... addiction, if you will. She has this twitch, this desire to take things, but she's returning the money because she doesn't actually want to take the money. She just loves the thrill of taking it. So she slips it into the waitress's thing. And Baby's like, what the fuck? Because she's quick like him. Yeah. There's this yep. connection there.
There's actually a reason for them to have a rapport. Yeah. Okay.
He's not just like, oh, a girl who sang a song with my name in it. Oh, I'm the biggest narcissist on the planet. Like, no. Just
hey, he's
no.
deaf, sort of.
He's not deaf. He's got a ring in his ear. Like that sucks. Don't get me wrong.
Hum in the drum.
Yeah. And he's like, so he sees her. She loves the thrill, right? She's got an obsession with a thrill. And he's kind of curious because so does he. Let's be real for one second. This is a child that was stealing cars. He had some fucked up stuff happen to him. But at the end of the day, he does like the thrill of it. He doesn't like the violence, but I think he likes the thrill of the fuss. And he watches her. She takes it. She puts it back into the other lady's apron. So she wants to steal, but she doesn't actually want to take from people. So she's got a heart of gold like him. Yeah. You've used this word before, Gabe, but I love it.
Penchant?
Pension?
Pensions?
A pension for danger. Yeah. But a heart of gold just like Baby. Yeah. So laundry scene, right? She opens up to him. And this is where she kind of explores her backstory. So her parents maybe died, I don't know, went around for whatever reason. She was raised by her grandmother. So again, there's this like common ground between her and Baby. But as she got older, her kleptomaniacy.
I think it's kleptomania.
Maniacy is a thing though.
I don't know anymore.
Ansel Maniacy is his name.
It got more and more out of control. She felt she couldn't suppress it. And she ended up stealing just a vase from her grandmother's house. Pawning it, using the money, getting off on the thrill, yeah? What she didn't realize was, like some old people do, her grandmother kept her life savings in that vase. When she finds out her grandmother, you know, she comes home, her grandmother's fucking distressed, she's despondent because she's lost, like, her life. Savings, these are not wealthy people. This is important money to her. She goes back to try and get the vase. Person's found the money in it and is like, what money? And so she's lost from this, like, and she made, maybe nice. She made like $20 off the vase. It wasn't about the money. It's like this obsession was stealing, but she was taking the money back then.
Oh, stealing comes with that cost.
Hurts. And she has just really fucked hurts. Her grandmother, the woman who took her in when her parents left, she's fucked her over. So what she did was she's like, I am bad news. I have this addiction. I have this obsession. I need to take myself away from the people that I love because I can only hurt them more than I already have. And also she's like racked with guilt because she, like, you would be so guilty. She can't even admit it to her grandmother. She just leaves. So she comes, and the whole nothing going on is because she's like methodical. She's like, keep yourself busy one day yep. at a time. Simple things. Don't overcomplicate your life and keep your hands busy, which is, I think, the waitressing thing, you know, plates and
chairs. Yeah, nice.
But
yeah,
clearly there is a little bit still slipping through, as Baby has seen. Because maybe this conversation comes from he brings up like, the fact
that
he's...
Why'd you say that lady's money that time and give it back
but
to
she
her?
Always puts it back, because that's the difference between this thing that she did in the past that she's really regretful. It's her big issue. She always puts the money back because she believes that stealing is wrong, because she's seen firsthand how much it can poison, you know, things that are like good in her life. Well, the best thing in her life, which would have been her grandmother, you know?
Yeah.
So... she's not unlike Baby in the sense, you know, that she has
a
moral compass.
Yeah.
But she's a bit different. She's living with regret, with a deep regret. You know, she's also like, I mean, I guess it is an addiction for her. So she is grappling with that. So when Baby, later on in the plot.
She's so much better.
Yeah. It's like she's still not got nothing going on, but like because she doesn't want anything going on.
But
she doesn't.
There's a reason.
She needs to keep her life
pain,
simple.
There's a potential arc. Yeah.
And later on, when Baby first comes back and asks her to run away, she's like, no, because it makes her an accomplice to his crime. And it's like, I don't care how much you like a dude, you're not just going to go to prison for him. Like, just because he asks you nicely.
For a girl once.
Did you actually?
No. Why would you believe that? Look at me. Do you reckon I would survive prison? Continue.
I think that you, if you played your cards right, Tom, you know, you could be somebody's...
You could come out on top or probably bottom.
Who am I up to?
No points, Gabe.
When
she knocks back the... So that makes sense for her.
But she's like, no, because fuck off. Sorry, but no one... Especially he stood her up the night before and he still hasn't given her a fucking reason. I don't care how low her self-esteem is. She's not like, yeah, okay. I'll potentially go to prison.
I think, like, if he explained it, not go to prison, but, like, because she seemed extremely forgiving of him not turning up.
Yeah, she was like, all right, like, yeah, I deserve that.
Decent reason, but, like, she was just like, yeah, whatever.
And it's like, the thing is as well, like, you know, literally what she does in the film makes her an accomplice. And in the film seemed to neglect the fact that she would also be going to prison. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
You don't just get to help someone get away with a crime and then get off scot-free. So at first she's like, no. But then the money comes into, she sees the money maybe, and she's like, yeah, I'll go on one condition. You're going to give me $100,000. I don't know what kind of money.
Some of that money for me.
Big chunk of money. And where the first place we're going is, I've written down Nevada because I feel like that's a fun place for her grandmother to live. And she's like, we're going straight to my grandmother and we're giving her not only
also depressing. So I think it ticks the boxes.
Yeah. Cool.
Not only what I lost of hers, like I'm going to double it. So she's asking for a big portion of the money, which Baby's, you know, it's not about the money for him. So he obliges. So for her to go away with him, it's redemption for her. It's her one chance. Because like, keep in mind, this is like people of not a lot of money. She realistically is never going to save up in her grandmother's lifetime enough money to even match what she lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So now in one fell swoop, she can double it and she can be free of that guilt. And I feel like that is enough for me for her to risk it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why she goes with him. And also she asks about the money. She's like, okay, well, who's the money? And she realizes, you know, she sees it as he's stolen it from John Hamm's character.
Buddy.
So she goes, okay, well, I'm not taking from someone, even though, I mean, technically it is from someone.
I'm stealing from a thief, so it's okay.
I'm stealing from someone bad. It's going to clean my conscience. I can actually live.
I'm going to Robin Hood at this shit.
Yeah.
She is a Robin Hood. She actually is a Robin Hood, like a guilty Robin Hood, Hood that's fucked up. And that is Debbie. That is my fix for Debbie. Wasn't that fucking hard? What is the director of this? Edgar Wright?
Headgear Bright.
Keep right. Like he's like got a headlamp on.
Yes.
Okay, my last character, and it's a shorter fix because, I don't know, you guys might even want to pitch in with your own version of this one, is Dallas. Now, if Debbie was done right, and if Debbie did Dallas, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. If Debbie was done right.
What if Debbie did Dallas? That's a different film. We won't talk about that.
If Debbie was done right, I could get on board with Darling being as one note as she was. I could accept it. And while I'm here, I'll fix Darling while I'm at it. Darling and John Hamm's characters was never confirmed, but their backstory was that Jamie Foxx kind of implied, and they got angry, and it kind of sort of suggested that it was true, was that he was a Wall Street
stockbroker,
and she was his favorite stripper, and they Bonnie and Clyde that shit. I'm gonna keep the Bonnie and Clyde because I love
Bonnie and Clyde's great.
It's great. It's great dynamic. Yeah, it works well for that secondary character as well because it was like it's like Bonnie and Clyde, but it's not their movie.
Yeah,
it's like
how
everyone else would have found Bonnie and Clyde fucking annoying, which I really liked. I thought that was cool.
And you get the nice beat too that the only restaurant that Baby knows to go to is the restaurant they always talk about going to after they pull jobs.
Yeah. But I've scrapped that because it's like it's I don't know. It's just cliched and boring. So what I've
fine.
I've made him. He's a, you guys know Jim's Mowing?
Yeah.
He's like a small town mowing businessman who was struggling to make ends meet, and then he started laundering money, and that's how he got into his life of crime. So he's a little Walter White-ish in that he's a real everyday kind of guy.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and
is
that's
still played by John Hamm.
I don't know if I can buy John Hamm as an everyday kind of guy.
Let's recast him then. So he'd be the cop from Stranger Things. What's that actor's name? The main cop.
David Harbour?
David Harbour. Yeah. David Harbour. The main cop from Stranger Things.
Because like the whole idea of his backstory being like Wall Street stockbroker or whatever, I was like, yeah, I mean, it's not that far from Madison Avenue ad man, like Don Draper going to Seed. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see him being that character. So, yeah.
I get what you mean. Once I change this, I mean, we can keep John Hamm's character the same if you want, or we can make him the same.
It doesn't actually change anything that comes next.
So it's just an alternative character. Whatever. Whichever, choose your own adventure with my fix. You can pick your own characterization. But darling, so instead of the stripper, she's a former or an actress, like an LA actress, like out of work actress. So she's still hypersexualized like she is, because, you know, action films need some sex in it. And that's, I get that. She's still hypersexualized, but it's because she, as an actress, she's had to sell her sex to get work. Yeah. And she's simultaneously never lost that instinct to always present yourself. If you're a woman, you have to present yourself as like super ultra hypersexualized. But she's also fucking pissed off at, like, she's just had one too many casting directors like grab her ass and try and objectify her and take advantage of her. And so she's kind of gone a bit like, maybe a little even like Harley Quinn-ish, because she is a little bit in crazy on just being like fed up with that. She's done one too many yoga pant wearing, yogurt eating commercials on Coke, and she's just gone crazy and gone to this life of crime because she's which is kind of, Damer actually pointed out to me that it was kind of meta that my frustration with this film was that her character was reduced down to just sex and not a personality. And I'm doing that. I've made a character that is.
Her problem is that she's being reduced.
She's
to just
constantly
sex.
Being reduced
it's,
to sex.
You know what? It's a very Edgar Wright thing to do a bit, just quietly.
It is kind of meta. I mean,
So, yep.
So that's her motivation. And they're still completely in love. They're completely obsessed with each other, except when, you know how Darling dies, Buddy goes on the rampage. Let's flip that shit. Buddy dies, which spurs Darling on to go on the rampage, and she's the big boss at the end. And that's my fix for Darling.
So just quickly, how does it actually resolve for Debbie? Because I want to see the money get to the grandma.
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought about
that. I like
that.
How the whole time that's been bugging you. Like, you're like, I don't care about Darling. How does
No, because I was thinking, because like you said, oh, that's it for Debbie. And I was like, well, hang on. Like, does the money get to the grandma? Like,
because I guess I kept the same ending that he got caught.
She escapes. Because like, if she's never seen and never implicated.
Yeah, maybe that's
and
it.
Like, maybe it's as simple as, like, they stop, and you could actually, like, because I don't like the idea of either of them betraying each other. Even in this version, I think there's got to be something genuine there, even if she's got exterior motives as well.
Yes, yeah, there but, like, is still that like, connection. Because she wouldn't tell him. She wouldn't open up to him if she didn't feel something
like,
for him.
They want me. I don't know how you do it.
He sacrifices himself, so she's like,
no, we have to go. We have to go. We have to go. They hid the money somewhere. They're going to come back to it later. You show that somehow. And it's like, we'll go back and get the money. And then he's like, you can't be with me, you'll go to jail. And she's like, no, I'm going to go down with you. And he, like, pulls a gun from somewhere and just pulls her out of the truck and points it at him. He's like, uses her as a hostage.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that kind of reduces her to a hostage, but I think it's
a nice thing.
No, but
she knows what's going on.
That's different. Yeah. That's not.
Yeah. She could be like, I hate you. I hate you so much. And he's like, really sorry. She's like, that gun's not even loaded. He's like, they don't know that. Like, that kind of nice banter.
Yeah. And then you see her getting the money. And then maybe she's waiting for him when he gets out.
Maybe
I don't know
he sends her money from prison in that he, like, when he's in prison, he's like, doing shit favors for people, and then they tell their people to send her money. You know what I mean? It's in exchange for.
I actually like it better if they've hid the money together, she goes back and gets
it. Right,
they get to the car. He's like, I'm going to get arrested. She's like, but we've got to take the money to my grandma. You know, and she opens up a duffel bag and it's empty. And he's like, I couldn't take the money with us. She's like, what? And as he's getting arrested, he should be like, call my grandfather or my stepdad or his foster dad, and be like, make sure he's okay. Okay.
And he's got
to make sure he's okay.
And then the grandmother and the grandfather fall in love. And it's great. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. Just two old people. Isn't it always cute?
The only thing I have about, like, I think you can still have Darling have the agency. The thing that I worry about if she's then the big bad is I feel weird about killing her with a car in such a brutal fashion. And I don't think Baby would be able to kill
her. But Baby, that's the thing about that writing. Baby doesn't kill her. It like rolls or something.
Yeah, no, but he's trying to kill her.
Yeah, he is trying to kill her, but he doesn't. And I noticed that he's not the one that does the final blow.
No, correct, because he'd be guilty then. But my thing is that I just don't see Baby being capable of wanting to try to kill just because of his weird sensibilities and his weird compassion.
But see, that's the thing is, I feel like he has the same reservations about killing John Hamm. I don't think that it's any different.
I think he'd
different.
Have more, though, about killing a woman. That's what I'm trying to get at, is that yes, he's got those very odd old school values.
He would never have wanted to kill John. Yeah, I know, but I think
yeah, but
for
I'm
me,
also just kind of like, in this scenario, she is significantly more dangerous than he is.
Do you know what?
Like, it's
yeah, no, yes, fuck it. I think, because when he killed John Hamm, I remember watching it and being like, is he going to kill... Because he, you know,
you don't watch Brienne of Tarth and the Hound go at each other and think, oh no, he's beating up a woman. You think those are two badass motherfuckers beating shit out of each other.
I think he's so threatened.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a dick.
And Debbie's so threatened that he's struggling. You know, it is life or death. It's kill or be killed. That he.
No, the other thing too is,
and that's the only way we forgive him for doing it as well.
Darling has literally just shot the man who was his kind of father figure after his father figure learnt how to sign for the daughter.
Yeah. I just like to mention that, like. I don't know. Not that I necessarily would, but any single character in this film, you could swap the genders.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no character that I feel was inherently male. And I think maybe that was my issue as well, is that no characters that I feel like had to be, well, I mean, I guess Darling did because she was, oh, no, she didn't.
Darling, calling a girl, a bloke Darling would be interesting.
It's great.
Because it also, especially if that male character is really dangerous and you give them an effeminate name. Like the fact that Buddy's super dangerous, but his name's Buddy.
Yeah.
Whereas Bats, the crazy Bats, isn't the dangerous one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Kath, you have scored.
How many points?
38 points.
Too shy of the victory, Tom.
Look, you're too shy of the victory. You lost a point for not knowing how tennis works. Although you can gain a point if you can come up with a better version of that actor's name.
Someone said ointment and I feel like I just lost my shit. Like, I can't.
What about, hang on, let me see if I can get this one in my head. So his first name is...
Embryo.
Nah, Embryo? No, that'd be...
It's too close.
Embryo, because his name is Ansel Elgeborg. Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
And on that note...
I've been Handsome Tom.
I've been Kath.
I've been Gabe. And yeah, if you guys have any opinions on Baby Driver, if you think this was good, bad, I think it's an unquestionable improvement, personally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And not,
sorry,
like, not a hard.
Sorry, purists. Yeah, like, and not like hard. It's not.
Makes the film a 5-star solid gold film.
It doesn't change much. It doesn't change the plot. It doesn't change Baby, really.
No,
at all.
Not at all.
It doesn't change much, but it just makes it,
makes
like.
It that much better. It's, yeah. It's totally,
it just makes it interesting and makes sense for Kevin Spacey's character as well.
So yeah, if you've got any opinions, positive, negative, whatever, hit us up on Twitter at MMSansPants or individually. I'm at GoldbergMoser.
I'm at OrchardTreed.
I'm not on, well, I am on Twitter, but I don't fucking use it. I'm on Instagram as Kath at ATK5.
So, is that also your Twitter handle?
So comment on her pictures of her dog with your opinions.
Yeah, I have a lot of, get on that shit.
Email us at moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Animorph egg bread.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at sanspantsplus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's sanspantsplus.com.